The Holy Gospel to St. John, the second chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The Gospel of our Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts and the insights of our hearts and our minds be pleasing to you, O God, you who are our rock and our salvation. Amen. We're in the season of Epiphany. Do you ever wonder what the word Epiphany means? It has several meanings. Revelation, realization, disclosure, and manifestation. And all these meanings have an element of surprise in them. An epiphany is an illumination of insight in which everything is transformed. The epiphanies recorded in the Bible, in both the Hebrew scriptures and the Christian scriptures, are sacred times, times when something is revealed to us that has a deep spiritual impact on us. Even as the epiphanies spoke to the people thousands of years ago, they speak to us today. This story about the transformation of water into wine is an epiphany. It's a revelation of the grace and the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. It spoke to Jesus' disciples and some other folks who were present there at that wedding party that here indeed was a man of great power and generosity. I really like this story. It has made me think a lot about the relationship between Mary and Jesus. You know, and like an onion, this story has layers to it. No, Mary made a simple observation. They have no wine. The guests had consumed all that the groom had provided, and it would be a terrible social snafu and an indication of poor hospitality to run out of wine. Whoever planned this event? I mean, did more people come than were anticipated? I mean, the guests would be coming in and out, during the week-long celebration. They must have been having quite a time of it. The gospel says they probably were drunk. Jesus' retort is strange. "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." Was he saying it's not our responsibility, but the responsibility of the groom? You know, I can't believe that Jesus was not compassionate, nor can I believe that he was being sarcastic. So what's going on here? Was he saying something like, "Yes, I noticed, but I'm not ready yet to do anything about it. Did Mary know her son so well that she knew he would do something about it? You know, she trusted him. She knew that he would act because she told the servants to do whatever he told them to do. Jesus would take care of this problem. This cryptic conversation going on here can only happen between two people who knew each other very well. I wonder what my two adult sons would have responded, you know, with such respect and obedience and compassion and understanding, you know, the way Jesus did. And when I ran this by my younger son, he chuckled and he said, "Sure, Mom." You know, he was more certain than I am. Mary was certain. So the six water jars that were supposed to be used for purification, for the hands and feet washing, those jars were filled right to the brim with water. And Jesus actually did nothing but to order that they be filled and a cup be taken to the chief steward for tasting. That cup was filled with the best wine, much finer than the host had provided. Whoever served the best wine to the guests who were already drunk? They were drunk on that inferior wine. Not only that, but have you ever wondered how much wine those six water jars produced? You know, I Googled that. Each jar contained between 20 or 30 gallons. And it turns out that this amounts to between 600 and 900 bottles of wine. Like, what wedding party could possibly consume that, especially if they'd already had their fill, you know? It's like, this is absolutely mind-blowing, isn't it? So what's the purpose of this incredible story of Jesus' first miracle? Yes, Jesus' disciples were amazed. Yes, this revealed Jesus' power and his glory. And yes, Jesus' disciples believed in him. You know, this is all true. And it's what lies on the surface of this story. It's obvious. But what's not so obvious is a deeper meaning here. And we have to dig a little deeper to disclose that meaning, to reveal it, to realize that deeper meaning. We need an epiphany. We need an epiphany. You know, St. John did not call this a miracle, but a sign. You know, and a sign points to something that is beyond itself. Just like a road sign would point to what's up ahead. The great abundance of wine, more than could be imagined, could that not be a sign of the great love, the great compassion, the great understanding of our human problems that our Lord has for us? We don't even have to do anything to earn this love. Christ offers it to us free of any condition, in the same way that he offered the best wine to those guests at the wedding. Enjoy. Drink it down. Consume all the love that you need or you want. It's freely given. Could the wine be pointing us to the source of all life and joy? Abundant life and joy that come from a relationship with Jesus. Moreover, the image of a wedding banquet is often used in Scripture to signify the restoration of Israel, and wine is frequently used as a symbol of joy and celebration that's associated with salvation. This abundance of joy is for all people. Jesus said, "I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly." When we look around at this sorry world of ours today, we need to hear this story. We need to do more than hear it. We need to believe it. You know, we're all spent. We're all worn out with this pandemic, this isolation, this threat to our very lives and to our way of life. We need a Savior. We need a deep relationship with Christ in order to make it through. A long, deep drink from the well of life that Christ offers us will sustain us, and not only sustain us, but take us out of our solitary misery and thrust us into our needy world. The abundant love that Jesus offered in that sign reminds us that this is a love that's available to us unconditionally, with no end. It is that love that we have to offer to others. Now, this pandemic has challenged us as the Church of Jesus Christ. It's challenged us to reach out, to be creative in our offer of love to others, those in need. And it's hard in our own communities. And it's even harder as we reach out to the world. You know, so many are hungry or homeless or angry, and they're on our very doorsteps. Our sisters and brothers of color are calling out to us for justice. So many are eager to come into this country of ours to escape persecution or violence or to seek a better way of life. And there are many barriers, both political and economic, that have slowed things down considerably. Then there are the great divisions, political, economic, ideological, that exist in our country today. It's a challenge to love those of another persuasion. Even as Jesus did not feel ready to begin his ministry, the need was so great that he overcame his hesitancy and he reached out with abundant love. He used what was at hand, simple jars of water, to share his great gift, to demonstrate his love and care. As the Church of Jesus Christ, we often act from a position of scarcity. The wine is gone. Instead of the position of abundance, the abundance that God will provide more than we need. God's love has no limits, and that love, incarnated, put flesh on in our actions, is able and is available to us, and it has no limits. The Reverend Cameron Trimble put it this way: as we stand at a threshold of transformation, let's expect with hope. Let's look for connection. Let's give and receive love. It's the common things, those we take for granted, that God uses to illuminate our awakening. Ask yourself, do I trust in the abundance of life and love and joy that are offered to me as a disciple of Christ? I mean, do I believe? And if so, then I must put flesh on this faith, even as Jesus did. Do I recognize those epiphanies that God presents to me that offer transformation, that offer me times when I can follow Jesus, when I can love with such abandonment and generosity? Don't miss even the smallest opportunity, because that may make a huge difference in someone's life. Trust that God will equip you with all that you need to love with an endless love. You have your special gift given to you by God. Use that gift to be a blessing to someone. Your blessing may be an epiphany to them, a time when they too will come to realize that That love is a gift from God for them, and their lives will be transformed. So take the water and turn it into wine. Let the party begin. Let us pray. Holy One, God of abundant love and life and joy, help us to open our hearts to receive what you freely give, and then give us eyes to see the opportunities before us that give love and life and joy to others. Amen.